You're listening to episode number 14 of the podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode. I hope you've all had a wonderful week. I am your host, the Mike James, and we are going to be discussing today how you can go full-time on Twitch, even as an affiliate. Wouldn't that just be the dream, guys, if we could just quit our jobs and go full-time? Obviously, it does depend on financial stability, but we are going to be discussing that this week with our guest, and we're going to be talking about how she manages to stay afloat as a Twitch affiliate, being full-time on the platform. All that and more, guys, coming right up.
You are listening to the Content Experience Podcast, the podcast for those wanting to learn more about all aspects of content creation and streaming. Each week, we sit down with some of your favorite streamers to get to know the story behind the stream and what advice they would give to help build your dream career in content creation. All this with your host, taco lover, sci-fi geek, and award-winning tap dancer, the Mike James.
So, welcome back, everybody. Tink, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody?
Hello, everyone. My name is Tink. Tink TV is my Twitch handle and my gaming handle and all of that. Basically, I've been streaming on Twitch since October 2017. I've been full-time since April 2018. So it's been like a really, really cool experience and cool journey. Never thought in a million years this is what I would be kind of doing for a job or anything like that. So it's kind of crazy, but it's been absolutely amazing. And Twitch is pretty awesome. I stream basically all sorts of things. I'm a variety streamer, literally in every sense of the word, variety, because we don't just game. I mean, we literally do everything. We chat. I do cosplaying. I do talk shows. I dress up and dance and work out, like, literally everything. So we even sing sometimes. So that's basically what my channel is. Gaming is kind of secondary. It's more so just like a community-based channel. Like, I just love hanging out with everybody, chatting with everybody, and getting to know people. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know, I like to call myself an entertainer of sorts, and the gaming just comes along with it. So yeah. Thank you, Elements.
I mean, you are indeed, like, full, you know, just an entertainer. Like, I would say you're like, because you've, in the time that I've known you, I've literally, like, you've said it all, really, but I've seen you do, obviously, dancing. You've done, like, workouts. You haven't done intentional workouts, but people have supported you that much that you end up doing full-blown workouts and things like that. So it works. It's turned out, you know, pretty much completely variety, and that's what I love about your content. You never know what you're going to tune into with your stream, and that's kind of why I've you know, really looking forward to having you on. That, as well as being, you know, full time, you know, as an affiliate. And I don't mean that in a sort of a, you know, like a downwards way, but, you know, most people don't go full time on Twitch until, well, as you are aware, you normally, I said normally,
it takes time.
You know, it takes a lot of time, but I mean, you manage it. So, and that's why, you know, I want to talk to you as well, because you've managed it. So hopefully you'll be able to help, or at least inspire many other people to manage it as well. So,
for sure. So
let's talk a little bit about, before you started streaming. Obviously, you started streaming in October of 2017. Were you doing any sort of content before you started streaming, or were you posting on Instagram, trying to grow an Instagram account, or were you making YouTube videos or anything like that, or was it literally nothing to just streaming?
So I actually created a gaming Instagram account, which was just, at the time, my name was Tink the Gamer Girl. That's what I originally started out as, on Instagram, and it came out of nowhere, kind of, because I was kind of like in between jobs, and I started gaming a lot more when I was in between jobs. So it was just kind of like something like to use my spare time with, basically. I'm just like, okay, well, I've got all the spare time to game now. So I started gaming, and I was like, why don't I make a gaming account and just, like, you know, share my love of gaming on there. So that's what I did. That's how it started. And as I delved into that, I realized that I found out about Twitch, and I had no idea what Twitch was at all. Like, not a sweet clue. But everybody on Instagram in the gaming community was talking about Twitch, and a lot of people were streamers and all of that stuff. And so as I started to make friends on Instagram, they told me about Twitch, and they were like, oh my gosh, Tink, you need to try Twitch. Like, you would be so good at it because of like all the stuff I was posting in my stories or my feed or whatever it was. They're just like, you would be so great at streaming, because they just thought I had the personality for it and all that stuff. So that's when I delved into Twitch. And basically, in terms of like what I did for a job, I was always, I was a graphic designer. That's what I went to school for. So I've always been into the arts, basically, everything media, all of that sort of stuff. And my last job before Twitch was, I was working at a car dealership, working as a media coordinator. So I did all of their social media accounts. I did ads for them, banners, posters, events. I did their YouTube as well. So I dabbled in some YouTube video editing and stuff like that. So I basically had all of that sort of stuff as part of like what I did. That was all kind of like what I did for years before Twitch came along. I got laid off of that job, and I brought, which was really unfortunate. It was actually the first time they had had that position, and they didn't really know how to delegate it properly. So they ended up just laying me off. So I was like, well, thanks guys. So it kind of was really shitty, but it being in between jobs like that, and while I was looking for other work, I found Twitch. So it was really cool. So I've always been into graphic design, art, and all of that stuff, media, all of that. So it was really cool to be able to bring it over to Twitch.
I mean, that's pretty cool though. I mean, you're starting out on Instagram. I mean, you're the first guest that we've had. Normally when I ask people that question, normally they turn around and they say, oh, well, I didn't do any sort of content creation, and they just found Twitch. But a lot of people say that. But it's interesting actually that we had somebody, you know, coming in from Instagram. What were you posting? I mean, obviously you were like a gaming Instagram account. What were you posting on Instagram?
It was literally just like what games I was into, my game collection, what games I was playing that day, asking questions about what people thought of certain games, like what's your favorite game, what's your favorite gaming characters, like whatever it might be. It was just everything to do. And it was really cool because I had like missed gaming. It was for months and months and months, I hadn't really been gaming that much. And I got to really, really like just dive back into it. And I met so many cool people. So yeah, all of my content was basically just like talking about games and like what's the game you're most passionate about, game genres, everything like that. And, you know, of course, posting the selfies. The selfies with my games and my gaming controllers and all that stuff. It goes along with it, but yeah.
I mean, that's kind of answered my next question. I was going to ask about, like, you know, like how you found growing a sort of gaming Instagram account, because to me, I've always seen Instagram as like one of the hardest platform for gamers to grow on, especially for, you know, somebody that you know, isn't particularly very I don't pose well for pictures. is the best way I could really answer that, really put that statement, to be honest. I mean, you know, I'm not really a selfie taker, and I tried doing like a bunch of selfies for Instagram, and then I actually ended up getting into a bit of an argument with somebody on Instagram, and because basically I was reading up on how to grow your Instagram, and somebody said, oh, well, what you can do is you can go onto other people's pictures and comment and offer them some sort of like, you know, feedback or something, or just engage with their post, and then, you know, they'll return some of the engagement. So I went onto somebody's post and I offered them like a little bit of feedback, but at this point it was quite early on, and it was kind of basically unsolicited feedback. They weren't asking for feedback. I just gave them feedback, and in hindsight that was probably not the best thing to do, because they turned around and one of their friends turned on me, and it got quite ugly, and They did call me the king of selfies though, but they meant it in kind of like a derogatory way. They weren't really being very nice. So, but anyway, so yeah, I'm the king of selfies now. Self proclaimed king of selfies. So yeah, that's interesting.
That sucks.
How did you find Instagram? Like, you know, before going into streaming, like, was it fun? Did you get quite a lot of engagement when you were doing it? Was it hard? Was it easy? Like, tell us a little bit about how you found it.
It's kind of funny, to be honest, because I've had several Instagram accounts. I actually used to be really into fitness, and I had a fitness Instagram account, and I would post recipes for healthy stuff. I would post like, you know, workout videos. I would post like, you know, me in my workout clothes, like flexing or just stupid things like that. Like you would see like a regular fitness account. And I got like, it was so hard for that account to grow. I mean, I would get like a few follows and then they'd unfollow, and I would barely get any engagement. Like I had to hashtag the shit out of everything. Like, I don't know. It was impossible though. Like I could not get past 300 followers to save my life. It was bizarre. So then when I made my gaming account, it was like a completely different world, and my account grew so quickly. And I'm like, to this day, I'm so like taken back. Like, what is it? What was so different? Like, I think the gaming community is just so like supportive, and everyone just like, everyone just becomes friends really easily. It's like a really friendly place. Not saying that there's not toxicity too, because there is, but like, I just had like a really positive experience, and I hashtagged a lot. Hashtags are important to get engagement in your photos. It kind of is annoying, but it actually works. So I was always hashtagging. That's how it started out. And then I used to do, you know what I used to do? Funny enough, I used to hashtag follow for follow and like for like.
Oh, no.
Don't do that. But at the very beginning of my account, it was so brand new. I had one post. So I kind of was like desperate to kind of like get some engagement, right? So I learned quickly that that's not good, so I stopped doing that. But yeah, it grew really quickly. I started making friends really quickly. Everyone was engaging in my posts. What I did actually was I asked a lot of questions in my posts, and you just have to make sure your posts are really like visually appealing. Like, rather than just a selfie, what else is involved in the selfie? Like, I would put some kind of gaming product or whatever in there with it. I would try and get good different angles, just different things like that. You're just always trying to come up with like a different kind of way to pose or things like that. So just something that's visually appealing to the eye. Like, it would, when you're scrolling through all of the stuff on Instagram, something that would be like, oh, it makes you stop and look at the post, you know? So that's kind of what I did. And I found that's what worked best. But yeah. Just I had a positive experience.
Just out of curiosity, I mean, well, first of all, I love the fact that you owned up to using follow that put a smile on my face. how did you sort of come on to the idea of doing, like, obviously you said you were into games between jobs and stuff. But how did you come on to the idea of doing like a game in Instagram? Like, what was the end goal of creating that Instagram account?
I always just kind of wanted to have an Instagram account that was like successful, because like in all of my past accounts, I could not grow. And I just like social media and media in general, and like graphics and everything to do with media basically was my life. Like, I went to school for graphic design. It was just all about media presence. Like, that's all I knew. And I was like, but for some reason, I couldn't get Instagram to work. And I was like, I need to be able to do this. And especially because I also do sell online products on a website called Redbubble. And before gaming account, before anything to do with Twitch, all of that, like way back when I was like struggling even to find work as a graphic designer, I was making art and putting it online to sell it. And so I had to learn the ins and outs of trying to get engagement on, you know, promoting my work online. And it was difficult. Like, you just, it's such a crazy learning curve. Like, there's so much to it. It was just really difficult. So I just was determined. I was like determined to have a successful Instagram, whatever it may be. And so fitness wasn't working out for me real well.
Yeah, it wasn't working. It wasn't working out for me either, to be honest.
But there you go. I mean, it's just hard. I don't know. Like, but anyway, so I just was like, okay, what else can I do? What are my other passions? So I just like took time and actually thought about the different things that I'm passionate about and that I love. And I am a huge nerd from that absolute core, like a big, huge geek. And I always was. But I always kind of hid that part of myself from the world. I just didn't really let that geeky side out. So I was like, you know what? Like, my nerdy side and my gaming and all of that stuff, like, I've been hiding for years. Let me try and pull that part of myself out and see what happens. Wouldn't you know, that was the most successful thing that happened, which is so bizarre. I don't know why, but I guess the gaming community is just super welcoming. Like, I don't know. But yeah, that's a... Yeah. Does that answer your question? I don't know if I kind of veered off or not.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we have quite a lot of questions to get through, obviously, because you have like such a vast journey, as we established at the beginning with like the cosplay and everything, which you know, we'll move on to that next, because I know that is a huge part of your content is your cosplay. Because I remember last year you were pretty much doing... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were pretty much doing like a brand new cosplay, literally. Yeah. I think it was like every stream at one point, or it was every week or something. You were just doing something new. And yeah. I remember I've always remembered being just blown away by the amount of dedication that you've got to you know, doing different cosplays on stream and stuff. And, you know, and especially when the holidays come around, you do a lot of holiday themed cosplays. Like, where did the idea for that come up? In fact, just tell us about all of that. Like, where did you get the idea, right through to your most favorite cosplay and your worst cosplay and things like that?
Okay. Yeah, so cosplaying, I never really thought I would do it, to be honest. It's weird. I've always loved Halloween and dressing up for Halloween. That was like one of my most favorite times of the year. So me and some friends and some family members, we would always do something crazy for Halloween, some kind of crazy dress up party. So basically, when I started my gaming account, I realized how many people cosplayed when I was like diving into that community. And I was like, man, you don't have to just dress up on Halloween. Like, I can just make this a thing anytime I want now, since this is what, like, you know, this is the community I've kind of jumped into. Like, why do I need an excuse to dress up? So, because I always love dressing up. So I started doing it more on my Instagram. I would just randomly in the day make some kind of costume. I think one of the first ones that I did that had nothing, this is before streaming and everything, was Catwoman. And I posted a photo of my, like, you know, randomly put together from different pieces of things I found in my apartment Catwoman costume, and posted that on Instagram. And it was just so much fun. I just loved doing it. And then, of course, since I started on Twitch, when I actually started on Twitch, I think it was in September, but I didn't get affiliated till October. That's when I was like, oh, this is the perfect timing ever, because now I can dress up. It's going to be Halloween. So I was so excited, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to go full-fledged into this and just like dress. And I just became super passionate about dressing up. And so it just became a kind of thing that I decided to incorporate into my channel once I started streaming more regularly, and people really liked it and I loved it. So this past September, past October, like you said, I literally dressed up on every single stream for all of the month of October, which was a really intense project to have taken on. I don't really recommend it, people. It was a bit exhausting. to dress up into a completely different person every single stream was a lot of work, but it was so much fun. So I don't regret it. It was a lot of fun. If I was to pick like a favorite costume that I've done, I think like the most extensive one that I've done that required the most work would be Sally Skellington, because I made her dress from scratch. And it required a ton of makeup, and a wig. Sally Skellington in The Nightmare Before Christmas is like my favorite movie, and she's one of my favorite characters. So I would say she's probably my most favorite.
Which cosplayer was, I don't want to say your worst because you've never really done a bad one, but which one didn't quite live up to the hype that you expected it to be?
Let me think. I don't know. Or one I wasn't as proud of, maybe. I feel like I'd have to look at my Instagram. Probably. Because there were some costumes that weren't really anyone specific. They were just made up. Like, I did, like, one that was just a ghostly figure. So I had, like, white outfit and white hair. So that wasn't really anything. So I'd have to say one of those ones that I just put together completely randomly that didn't actually, like, wasn't any sort of character. So, like, maybe the ghostly figure, or I did this random cat one that wasn't anything. It was just, like, me wearing a cat mask. So I would say one of those ones, probably. The ones that I did of characters, I really, really liked all of them, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's like part of your brand now, I'd say. If you want to get into the businessy talk of things, I'd say it's part of your brand now that you pretty much are not expected every stream, but, you know, at certain events, we can always know that we can expect a Tink cosplay stream at some point.
Yeah, exactly. I like to try and do it at least once a month sort of thing, so.
Yeah, and I mean, you recently just did one the other week as well, and I'm trying to remember what it was, and I really should know because I pretty much watch most of your streams.
I'm trying to remember too.
What was it that you did?
I recently did the one, I did one where I wore a red wig, but it wasn't really a costume. It was just me trying to dress up and have different hair.
I know you actually did a Tinkerbell one, which wasn't too...
I did.
That wasn't too long ago. I think that's what I'm thinking about. It might be the Tinkerbell one.
Yeah, I think that was sometime in the fall, probably.
Which, or December? You know, considering your name is Tink, it took a while for the Tinkerbell one to come around. At least.
I know. Okay, I know which one it was. It was Princess Peach. That was my most recent one.
Yes, that was it.
Princess Peach. Yep.
I knew we'd get there eventually. So I want to move on to something that I think a lot of streamers that will listen to this will want to hear about. And obviously, this is entirely how much you want to speak about it. And that's just going full time. In general now, I don't want to put any pressure on you because obviously everybody does. Some people don't like talking about, you know, income and things. And if you don't want to, then that's perfectly fine. But I do want to ask you about full-time streaming though, and like talk about the pressures and things like that. And, you know, I know it's not necessarily always a sort of the best subject, but I just want to, you know. I want to keep it real because obviously I'm assuming it's obviously, you know, I'm a full-time content creator and photographer. So obviously, like you, I obviously do other things outside of, you know, streaming and my YouTube and things like that. But yeah, tell us a little bit about full-time streaming for in your experience.
I think the first thing I want to tell people is don't jump into streaming assuming that you're going to be full-time, or don't have that be your goal to start streaming. So when I started streaming, not a single part of me was like, this is going to be my job. Absolutely not. I started streaming because everyone told me they think it would be really cool if I did it, and they think I'd be good at it, and they would love to come and see me and hang out with me on streams. And so I was like, okay, cool, why not? You know, like, I wasn't thinking about, like, yeah, financially, like, money-wise, any of that. I just jumped into it to see, like, who I could meet, how much fun it would be, all of that sort of stuff. So, so that's what I would say for the first and most important thing to people is, like, don't be like, oh, Twitch, I could do this for a living. Like, you know, like, I'm going to start a channel and try and make money and, like, have that be your goal. Because I'm telling you, you will be disappointed right away. You will. To start, like, for me, how it happened was when I started streaming, I got affiliated probably within, like, 3 or 4 weeks of streaming. And then it was just something that I had the time to do since I was in between jobs. So I was kind of looking for work as well as, you know, diving into some of my passions again, like gaming and cosplaying. So I kind of had the time to do it. So I kind of treated it like this is something that I'll do every other day if I can, because I have the availability to do it right now. Mm. So that's what I started doing. And my community started growing pretty quickly, most likely because of my Instagram account. Since it had grown and taken off quite quickly, a lot of my community came over from Instagram. So I would also recommend to build your social medias up before streaming, because you'll be surprised how many people will follow you over. That helped me a lot. I started, like, just being able to be super creative and coming up with really fun things to do on my stream. So I would come up with, like, Tink's pizza party in the bedroom or something like that. Cause there was one night that I was confined to my bedroom because, you know, my husband was using the PlayStation. Cause I didn't tell you guys this, I started out strictly on console, PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 4 camera. That's it. Didn't have any computer or anything whatsoever. No alerts, no anything cool at all. So I was just coming up with, like, fun different things to do. So, like, it was Halloween, like I said, starting to get more regular on Twitch. So I came up with all these really fun things to do for Halloween. So dressing up, playing a lot of horror games, which was actually the greatest way for me to have started on Twitch, because it was kind of my claim to fame was the fact that I dressed up a lot and I played a lot of horror games. And I was deemed Scream Queen. So that was really cool because I was like, I just was starting to, like, have my own identity on Twitch, like, really quickly, which was really fun. And it just became, like, a thing. Like, everyone that was following me on Instagram, I was like, oh, she's streaming and she's going to be in a new costume and she's going to be screaming again, playing Resident Evil 7 or whatever it was. So yeah, I started out like that. And then eventually people just really wanted me to be able to get a PC so that I had so much more to do, or, like, that I had so much more available for me to do on stream. So a lot of my community that I made on Twitch, they started trying to contribute into helping me get a PC. They all knew I was kind of in between jobs. I didn't have a computer. So I would come up with little fun ideas, like I said, my pizza bedroom party, and, like, I kind of came up with, like, random ways for people, like, incentives for people to want to, like, help out if they wanted, you know, to help me get a PC and all that stuff. But like I said, like, it had actually started from them actually wanting to help. Like, I never asked for it. I never was like, hey, guys, like, I really want you guys to give me money so that I can get a computer. You know, it never started out like that, because I don't think anybody should really start out like that on Twitch. So that's kind of how it happened. My community wanted to help me get a PC. I got there, I think, within a few months or a couple months. I can't really remember, but I was able to get this cheap little potato PC, and I was able to move into PC streaming. And it was kind of like touch and go, because, again, I wasn't treating it like a job. But as time was going on, I was starting to think about the fact that this could be part-time income, because people were so willing to help out, or so willing to, like, you know, donate, as you would say, right? So, but again, like, it didn't start out as me asking for money. People just wanted to help. And so anyways, as time went on, I was going through some rough times as well over the Christmas, fall and Christmas that year. So I think that, I was really like a private person. I didn't tell people about my financial problems. I didn't like, the only thing that people really knew is that I was in between jobs and, you know, they wanted me to stream. Like everybody enjoyed coming to my channel and stuff like that. And I think that people just wanted to help out in my situation, that the very little that they knew about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I think how it all began is I eventually ran out of my EI, which is unemployment insurance when in Canada, when you're off work, when you get laid off, you get unemployment insurance, which is like kind of like half of what you made at your old job that you got laid off from, sort of thing. And I started realizing at that point, it was around April, and I was like, I think that I'm making enough money to actually be on Twitch right now. And I can like just stay here and be comfortable and then see how it goes. And if it doesn't, if the income does not stay, I will get a job. You know what I mean? And that's how you kind of have to go into it. If you are seeing the finances and it's working out, there's nothing wrong with, you know, continuing and trying and see if it works. But what people have to realize is they need to have a backup plan, because Twitch is not stable income. It never will be, ever. some months you'll be doing good, other months you won't. So you have to just think about the fact that you need to have a backup plan. You need to think about what's going to happen if you are, you know, starting to struggle and you're not making enough to get by. So that's what I did. I had a backup plan. I was like, I'm going to see how it goes. And I'm going to make sure I keep my options open for work and look around and stuff like that, just in case. And that's kind of how it went. And it ended up just being successful because I kept coming up with new content. I tried to do the best I could in my creativity to, you know, want people to come and want people to support and all of that stuff. And it just worked out. And like I said, guys, like sometimes it really has to do with luck. And, you know, like it was something that's just worked out for me. And it doesn't always work out for everybody. But what you need to do is just work your ass off on your content. And usually people will want to support if they love your content. But you have to be active on all of your social medias. You have to make good, like you have to work on your content. And you have to be consistent. Like, it's just how it goes. And so, yeah, it just ended up working out really well. And I've been able to keep this up for over a year, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, I mean, yeah, is that good?
I mean, one thing that I did want to pick up on, just because obviously I have a different view. Now, obviously, I'm not going to sit here and say your idea is wrong, but I want to talk to you because you said, and I would love to get a bit more on it, is that you said mm-hmm. you have to be lucky. Now, I am somebody that doesn't believe luck exists. I believe that if you get given opportunities, and if you have placed yourself in the right place at the right time, to coincidentally fall in with the opportunity that's been presented, then you seize that opportunity and that opportunity will work for you. And, you know, some people call that luck. I would just say that it's being prepared for the opportunity. So obviously this isn't like a debate show, so we're not gonna sit here and have a, you know, like a class debate on luck versus no luck. But I just love your sort of take on that, because obviously nobody's really mentioned luck before in these sort of talks. So have you got anything to expand on that?
I think that you kind of explained it. I think that's what I mean by luck, though. Right time, right place, putting yourself out there in the proper way, you know, working really hard, having a community that wants to support you, all of that stuff. And I think that's kind of what I meant in terms of luck. Because like, what if, you know, like there's just so many what ifs with Twitch. But I will say that, you won't succeed in, you know, being able to have the finances to be full-time if you don't work for it. Like, some people just kind of think it's throwing on your cam in your game and going on, and that's it. Do you know what I mean? Like, and they kind of just hope for the best. Where's your social media? Are you networking? Are you getting involved in a lot of communities, discords? Are you working on different content? Is it more than just throwing on a game? Do you know what I mean? Like, what is it that you're doing? There's so many factors involved. It's not just one or two or three things. It's usually a huge bunch of things.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know if you would agree with this, but, and you've kind of sort of suggested it with the first couple of answers that you had, but I feel like Twitch, back when, you know, because I've been on Twitch as a viewer at least since about 2012, so I've been on the platform for about 7 years, and I know that up until about 2017 when you started, Twitch was very much a platform that was not, it was popular, but it wasn't massively saturated. And it used to be that you could just turn on a webcam and turn on a game, and you would, obviously, as long as you were consistent, etc., you would start building an audience. But with how saturated it is now, I feel like your streams have to be an experience. Like, you have to create an experience for people to come and watch. And your experience is wearing cosplays and, you know, drinking wine at appropriate times, may I add. And, you know, just, you know, like the screaming and stuff like that. Like, you have all of your scare alerts, for example, where I'm only going to say one name, which would be Sleeves. and, you know, you have all of these where it creates an experience that people can expect from you every time they come to your stream. So I feel like, you know, anybody that is a streamer that's listening that wants to know how they can improve their stream, and me included, it's thinking about how you can up your audience experience to create a bit more of an engagement. So like Tink has already said, you know, she goes through, you know, hours of fixing stream things, incorporating new cosplays, you know, pizza party in the bedroom, which she did. like all of these things are an experience that the audience can come to expect. And yeah, not everybody is into that sort of, you know, fun experience. Some people do just want to sit and watch somebody play a game, and obviously this comes down to personal preference. Obviously, I'm not saying there's only one way to grow on Twitch. There is no right way to grow on Twitch. There is only growing on Twitch, and everybody's journey is different. But I feel for most variety streamers and for most people, it's about building up that experience. I mean, I don't know if you'd agree with that, but
absolutely, yeah. Yep, I do. And like I said, so many factors with Twitch, so many different, because every single streamer has something different to offer. There are streamers that literally just game. but if they're really, really fantastically good at it, they will build an audience really quickly. Like, there's just so many different things, right? Like the huge streamers, Dr. Disrespect, Ninja, they're amazing at gaming, like 100%. That's kind of how they would have started, most likely, and then they grew and built content onto that and stuff like that. Me, for example, I'm terrible at gaming. I'm actually one of the worst. So that cannot be the main source of my content. I have to add stuff to it. I have to think about different things I can incorporate into my streams, because people are not going to come to my channel to watch the gameplay, most likely. It's extra, it's secondary, because I'm not good at it. I fumble, I fall off things, I have the worst aim ever with a gun, ever. I scream at everything. I get scared at everything. All of that sort of stuff. So my content cannot be, look how good I am at gaming. It cannot be that. Some people can 100% build their audience off of being amazing at gaming. But yeah, it's just every single person is different and is going to offer something different. So, yeah. I think me and you agree for the most part. I
I wasn't suggesting that me and you have opposing views. I was just seeing if you had anything else that you may have wanted to add on top of that. And I mean, you've already spoken about, you know, having other sort of side incomes, and you mentioned it briefly at the start. You have side incomes as well alongside your streaming, don't you, at the moment?
Streaming is basically what my income. So my anything that comes that's extra would be if I happen to sell stuff on my my online shops. I only get 20% commission off of those anyways, so it's not anything crazy. And then occasionally, like, I did a couple art commissions here and there, but those are not like consistent. So it really is Twitch. But like I said, if you need to have a backup. So I have, you know, figured out my finances to a point where I have some savings set aside that if Twitch is not going well for 1 month or 2 months, or it starts to get really bad, I have that extra income to get me by for me looking for some extra work, basically. So people just really need to have that in mind. Like, they can't, you really should not just base your entire income strictly on Twitch unless you've got some savings set up or you've got a side job and all of that stuff. But yeah, because Twitch, it's just so up and down. You never know what to expect. Yeah. And like, I've had people judge me from being on, being streaming full time, because people will say, well, why the heck are you relying on other people's money, you know, for your income? And it's kind of one of those things that it is an awkward thing to talk about, because you do always kind of have that in the back of your mind. Like, it can be like a bit of a stressful thing, but you have to like be really just open with your community and be comfortable with your community. And people really, for the most part, do give because they want to. It's not because they feel forced and all of that stuff. And you're doing something for them. Like, really, that's why they're supporting you. You know what I mean? But it's really hard sometimes to explain that to people, especially people who are not on Twitch. They don't get it, you know, like, and you'll have all of the crazy things get thrown at you, like, oh, that's a great computer you have there. Who paid for that? Probably not you, like, you know, or calling me like, oh, what's so successful about you? You're just a stay-at-home wife. Or, you know, I've had all of those things thrown at me. And people have to realize that's going to be expected as well. And you just have to learn to not let it get to you, and realize that Twitch is actually, like, being a full-time content creator is actually becoming a lot more normal and common these days. It's a really taboo to the older generation, maybe, but it is actually a lot more common now than people would think. So you have to just not let that sort of stuff get to you.
I think, do you know what, as well? I think a lot of explaining Twitch to, like, the older generation comes down to how business-minded that individual is as well. And the reason why I say this is because I was in Scotland last week, the week before, visiting my fiance's auntie and uncle, who are hugely successful business people. They live in the middle of Scotland. They also have a flat right smack bang in the middle of London that used to belong to one of the sugar babes or something. And they are hugely successful, like business people. And I was in the bedroom in Scotland, and my brother was doing like a takeover that week on my channel, streaming League. And I said to Ashley, dinner was being served. So I said to Ashley, tell them I'll be through in a minute. I'm just going to make sure Luke is all right. Got started streaming all right on my channel, because he had just gone live. So I wanted to make sure my brother was okay. But I was expecting Ashley to sort of cover for me and just say, Mike will be here in a minute. He's on the phone. And bearing in mind, Ashley's auntie and uncle are sort of like late 40s, early 50s. And I walked in and they were like, after we had dinner, and they were like, so what's streaming? And I was like, Ashley, why have you dropped me in this? Like, explaining streaming to, like, the older generation is just something that I absolutely dread. And I was expecting to explain it and to get, like, the sort of cold eye that you would imagine trying to explain it to, you know, relatives as well. Especially because, you know, they are so business-minded as well. I expected them to be sort of quite harsh critics of, you know, building up a stream as a business sort of thing. And I explained it to them and I said, well, Twitch, you know, is a huge platform that you can stream. It's mostly known for streaming computer games, but you can also stream live shows and things that you can put on for people. Mm-hmm. And people can financially support you in ways of subscribing to your content and, you know, cheering with bits and, you know, and just tipping you for, you know, providing some good entertainment and stuff. And I was expecting like the sort of cold shoulder response, but they actually turn around and they're like, oh, that's like pretty interesting. They're asking me all these questions.
That's good.
They're asking me like all these questions about how you would upscale it and how you'd build it up and things. And I was actually pleasantly surprised.
That's nice.
You know, considering I could have been like the, oh, well, that just sounds like you're just sitting at home playing computer games, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things, but yeah, I mean, you touched on, and I know this is digressing slightly, but you touched on, you know, people giving you a bit of a harsh time. Have you faced much criticism, like as a streamer, you know, just in general?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Speaking about it with my family was definitely really rough at the beginning, because they didn't understand it. You know, right away, my mother-in-law thought I was like, you know, on some cam girl website or something. Like, it was just like, I was like, no, like, you know what I mean? Like, they just automatically think the worst. And like, and then of course my mom, like, you know, I had briefly touched on it with her. And so she goes to the website and what does she see on the front page? But you know, one of those, like, you know, girl streamers with,
oh,
you know, little,
no,
little clothing or something, and she's dancing around or whatever it might be. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So, of course, she freaks out. She's like, what are you doing on this website? And I'm like, so you really have to explain it to them, you know, like, it's like, no, that's something that you can find here. Yes, that is not what I do. And like, it's really difficult because it's kind of like one of those things where you have to actually sit back and actually look at the big picture. If you go on Facebook, for example, tons of the older generation is on Facebook. My mom's on Facebook. My dad, my aunts and uncles, they're all on Facebook. Technically, you can find people like, you know, like, I don't know, for lack of a better word, porn stars or anything of this sort. You can find people that on Facebook too. You know what I mean? If you are looking in that, if that, you know, if you're on a certain page or whatever it might be. So technically it's really not that different from Twitch. It's like, mom, you're on Facebook. Did you know that you can find similar things to that on Facebook too? But you're on there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like one of those things where every single platform is going to have some sort of negative or sexual connotation or something involved on there somewhere, because, you know, X is everywhere. It just is, like, you know. But you just, what you have to think about is like, not every single person, just because they're on a certain website, is going to be that way, unless it's Pornhub. But that's totally different, because the content is one content, right? Twitch is so much different content. It's It's just one of those things you really do just have to explain them. And so I did eventually, you know, just the way I brought it up with my mom is like, this is what I do. And, you know, I told them I don't use my body to get money or anything like that. That is not what this is about. I've created a community on Twitch, and it's a community that is really friendly and kind and supportive. And we talk about amazing things sometimes. We talk about hard things sometimes. We've talked about, you know, like anxiety and depression and things like that. Like, you can have very real and interesting topics, sometimes it's just simply having fun with everybody, providing them fun entertainment, with your personality, all of those sorts of things and stuff like that. And I was like, these people have, I've literally had my community tell me that I brighten their day in some small way. I put a smile on their face. They're having a shit day at work and excuse my language. And they are, you know, they are enjoying themselves at work more because, you know, they get to listen to my stream, like whatever it might be. And that's kind of why they're supporting me, because I'm like, I'm providing something for them, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of how I had to put it in order for her to understand it better. So,
I mean, yeah, I mean, it is interesting though, because I don't want to get you into any sort of trouble, but I know that you have certain opinions on it. But obviously, I've spoken about this in the past, so don't worry. But we have on Twitch, at least, we have a community of you know, streamers that, you know, prefer to use their sort of sexuality, their sex appeal to, you know, hit a certain audience. And
right,
I've always said that if that is a route that you want to go down, then that is perfectly fine. There is right. an argument whether or not that should belong on Twitch, but of course, you know, we're not really a channel that's here to debate whether or not that belongs on Twitch. But have you ever, because I know that you'll have probably most likely been subject to some sort of comments from some people coming into the stream trying to look for a reaction.
Exactly.
And I know that you have not a strong opinion against, you know, streamers that want to use their sort of sex appeal, but I know that you've made comments on it in the past. But I mean, like, there is that exists on Twitch, and I think it's difficult to you know, try and, because
I know it is
it's difficult to explain it. And it's funny actually, because I built my older brother, who's turning 30 this year, and I built him a computer for Christmas, and it was actually his fiance that bought the parts and I just put it together for him. And he actually started browsing Twitch, and because he knew I was a streamer, he comes into my streams occasionally and watches me stream. And he made his Twitch account, and he was on Twitch, and I was talking to him, and at the time I was thinking in my head, because we had recently had a discussion, not me and my brother, me and somebody else that was a guest on the show, we had a discussion about people using sex appeal as streamers, and I was thinking I was actually trying to think in my head, like, who is the actual audience for these sort of streamers, and who actually, like, watches those sort of streamers. And and I hope my older brother isn't listening right now, because he'll probably kick he'll kill me for saying this, but I remember he went to the browse section on Twitch and he clicked on IRL, and literally within a couple of minutes he found a streamer and he clicked on her, and the first thing he did was he went, "Oh, she's fit." And I was like, "Oh my god." I was like, "Dean, you are literally the sort of person that gives those sort of streamers an audience." And I just remembered, you know, when you just have that moment, it's sort of like when, if you imagine, it's like an awkward moment where your dad starts, like, doing something really embarrassing in front of you, and you just put your head in your hands, and you're like, "Oh my god, what have I introduced here? Like, what have I done by introducing Twitch to my older brother?" But yeah, it's something that is on Twitch, and it is perfectly fine if you want to go down that route. And, you know, I have people that, you know, I have friends that are down that route, and I support them 100%, but, you know, it's not for everybody, but it is it is something. And do you find, and please forgive me for saying this, but do you find as a female on Twitch that you get a lot of sort of wrong audience, or what's the best way? I think you know what I'm trying to say. Like, do you get a lot of guys that are, like, you know, trying to make advances and things, I suppose, is the best way of wording it?
Oh, absolutely. No, I think it's impossible to avoid, unfortunately, being a girl on Twitch, really on any of these sort of platforms, honestly. It just, like Kevin said, those thirsty boys. Honestly, it's just they're there. They're always there. But I have talked about this on my streams before, but I think like the conclusion that I've come to really is every channel is different, and you are, you know, it is up to you what kind of content you want to put on your channel. So is it right to, you know, be bashing other people because they decide to do a different thing? They decide to go a different route and provide different type of content that maybe you don't agree with or whatever it may be. Of course, like that's up to them. They're doing well. Sex sells. You know what I mean? Like
it does. It always will.
Sex sells. You know, it's not like they're doing well in what, you know, they wanted to provide for these people. So, you know, all the power to them. But, you know, like even if you're a girl streamer on Twitch who is not there to, you know, dress scandalously to get views or whatever it might be, you're going to have people come in and call, oh, you know, I don't want to swear and say bad words, but you know what I mean? Like call you those, you know, derogatory things. And all you can do is remove them from your channel, ban them, time them out, whatever it is that you want to do that makes you comfortable. And that is the beauty of Twitch, is you have that power to remove them and get rid of them. And that's how you, you know, create a certain kind of audience that you're comfortable with, which is actually one of the greatest things about Twitch, honestly. Weed out the people that do not bring positivity or good things to your channel. They can be gone in literally a second. So you just have to remember, like, you know, what kind of audience do you want? What kind of, you know, community do you want? If you let too many things slide, you can quickly start to create, you know, more of an opening or gateway to, you know, more negative sort of people or comments and stuff like that. So it just really depends on what you want in your channel.
I mean, but you're pretty lenient though, right, when it comes to your channel. I mean, you obviously have no tolerance for idiots, for a lack of a better word, but generally though, you give people
a chance. Yeah. Some people say I give too many chances. Some people,
I was one of those people. I was one of those people. Yeah, I remember a guy came into your stream. About a month, just over a month ago, and I think he was talking about like seeing your feet or something. I can't 100% remember. I just remember that like I could tell straight away that this guy was just looking for trouble, and he was just being like really sort of passive aggressive about it, and like you could tell that Tink knew what he was doing. But she was like focusing on you know, she was actually focusing on just talking to people, and you know, and she sort of passed over this guy, and like I remember just sitting there and I was reading what this guy was saying. I remember going, I would have banned that guy like 20 minutes ago. And Tink was just, you know, she was just like one word answers. He was like saying, oh, blah, blah, blah. And she was just like, nope, blah, 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 whatever, blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever. And then eventually she was like, yeah, no, I'm not having this. And then she just turned about. And I was just, I honestly just like sat back and I was like, Jesus Christ, you are so lenient.
Really? Oh my gosh, that's funny. Because some people will say I'm too lenient sometimes, and then other people will say that I'm the opposite, and they say I'm way too strict. And some of my mods will be like, I didn't even get to have some fun with him first, or, you know, whatever. But it's just one of those things. And sometimes it depends on the day and my mood, too, you know. Maybe sometimes I'll just, you know, happen to not give a crap too much and just wait until, you know, I have more of a reason to get rid of them or something or whatever it is, like, but I mean, and honestly, it's kind of funny because there are some people that are like huge part of my communities now who started out as a troll in my channel, and I gave them, you know, chance to not be a troll, and then they ended up, you know, being like not a troll anymore and becoming like a part of the community, which is so funny. Like for example, Feet's not here. His name, one of my mods, my longtime mods, he's probably been subbed to me for like 19 months or something, 18 months, I can't remember, but he's been a mod on my channel since the beginning. His name is I Will Lick Your Feet. And he started out as a troll in my channel, and he kind of was just being kind of trolly and, like, you know, not super rude or anything, but, you know, just kind of making comments here and there and whatnot. I put up with his, like, you know, stupid jokes and stuff for a bit, and he ended up, you know, just starting to come around all the time and start to, like, be actually nice to me and, like, stuff like that. And then it just, you know, a friendship developed, and he's still a troll and says stupid shit all the time, but but it's like, you know, you just kind of, like, learn to roll with the punches. And, like, some people you will develop, you know, like, some sort of, like, you'll get along in a, you know, a weird way. Your humor might just, you know, relate or whatever it might be. But that's why I kind of like to give people a bit more of a chance, because sometimes they just start out that way and then they start to realize, okay, I kind of like this person, or I like this community. Like, you know, maybe I won't be such a shithead, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. I've had it as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny how it works out, but.
Yeah. I had one guy that I got raided by. So a good IRL friend of mine, knew a streamer. And the streamer that he knew raided me, and he brought a viewer in, and this viewer was being, like, quite an obvious troll. And ugh. after about 20 minutes, half an hour, like, you know, I was on the verge of timing this guy out. Then eventually, just as I was about to time out, he was like, "You're a cool guy. I'm gonna stick around. I'm not gonna be an idiot." So I was like, "I'll just delete your name from the / timeout."
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. Oh man.
So yeah, I've definitely faced that before. But I mean, I suppose, you know, being a full-time streamer, there's a lot of things that you face, and we've spoke about a lot of challenges and things. And to be honest,
for sure,
you know, it's like the start of a journey right now. Yeah, you've been streaming for, you know, like, coming up, well, you know, short, just a bit short of 2 years, you know, but you're still relatively, you know, building things up, you know, full time, and I mean, what's in the future? Like, what's your future plans? Is it just to be a Twitch streamer, or do you want to be a full time content creator, or are you using Twitch to as a stepping stone into, like, you know, into the sort of gaming industry? I know a lot of people will, you know, be a streamer until they can get into, you know, being a presenter, right, or whatever, and working within the game industry. So what's, like, your long-term goal?
I don't know if I necessarily have a long-term goal. I kind of know in my heart I'm probably not going to be able to be full-time on Twitch for a super long time. Like, I don't imagine I'll be here for 10 years or anything like that. Full-time streaming is very body. It can be very mentally exhausting, draining as well. You're dealing with, you know, an entire community of people every single day, and every single personality is different. You don't know what you're going to expect. Like, you never know what to expect. You don't know what's going to happen on a day-to-day basis. You know, I've had people will determine that, you know, they think since they support your channel or come to your channel and support you financially and all of that stuff, they automatically deserve, you know, a certain level of friendship back and stuff like that. Or they have, like, you know, some sort of hidden agenda going on where, you know, since I've supported you, I require this of you and different things like that. You know, and that can happen at any point in time with any person, and you just, like, don't see it coming. And you have to, the thing with Twitch is you really have to remember that you are developing friendships with your community members. It's not just, you know, a number. They're not just a number or a viewer. Like, you do develop friendships with a lot of these people. But you're not going to connect with every single person that comes to your stream, you know, like, not on, like, a deep friendship level. You just don't with everybody. And that's completely normal. And streamers really have to give themselves credit that it's okay to not develop a friendship with everybody. sometimes it'll just be, you know, they're in your community and it's great and it's awesome and stuff, but you just don't connect with them and like you want to talk to them all the time or you want to message them or you want to game with them off stream. Like that just doesn't happen with everybody. And not only that, but you don't even have the time sometimes to have that extra time to do things with all of your friends off stream, you know, like I've made so many friends on Twitch, like tons of people I would love to meet and hang out with more if I had the time in the day, but it's just sometimes not possible. And sometimes people will really take that and throw that in your face and against you, and it's not okay. So, you know, all that being said, Twitch, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be something doable for a really, really long time because of all of those factors that are involved, because it's so very draining when you are dealing with like an entire group of people and not everybody gets along. You have friction, you have people expecting more from you than you're required to give, tons of different things. And so for a long term, like, you know, 5, 7, 10 years, like, I just don't even think that's possible unless it was literally just like a walk in the park every single day from now on for 10 years, which is like to be impossible, you know? So, so in terms of like long term, I feel like what's great about Twitch is I think that it built a whole different side of me that I never thought I would have. I've gained confidence in myself. I've gained like, I'm like the most shy human being on the planet, but people would never think that when they watch me on stream. Are you the same?
I was going to say that Twitch has helped build my confidence, but in terms of being a shy person, I mean,
yeah.
I am a little bit, but I think I remember reading a word for it. I'm not introverted or extroverted. I'm like, I'm whatever I feel.
Both.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. It depends on the situation and the day.
Same.
So sometimes I could go to a party and I could be like one of the most extroverted people in the room, and I could be like, you know, completely over the top and, you know, getting on with everybody. But then there is times when I'm feeling where I'll go to a party, for example. I went to a birthday party last year, and for example, I wasn't necessarily feeling 100% great, and I knew most people at the party on a really personal level because I went to school with them and stuff. But I just, you know, I just sort of sat in the corner and just spoke to one or two people because I didn't really. You know, I just felt like taking a step back, and it's kind of, it depends really. But
in
terms of confidence and stuff, definitely. I mean, I used to, you know, especially as a photographer that works with clients and businesses and things, I used to hate ringing people. It's part of one of my jobs. I have to ring people and get permission. And I never used to be able to do it. But now I can sort of, sometimes I still have a little bit of trouble, but most of the time I can just pick up the phone and just be like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then like, yeah, whatever. And it's like, yeah, cool, man. See you later. And then put the phone down. It's like, but, you know, like a year ago, I would have been like, yeah, no, I'm not ringing that person.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Like, I feel like Twitch has kind of brought this other side of me out that I feel like was so difficult for me to even, like, jump into before, in terms of like confidence and talking to people, being more outgoing. I don't know, like I feel like now with, you know, being on Twitch for a couple years and stuff, I'll be able to kind of bring that into the real world and stuff like that. I've been, you know, way more in touch with my creative side than ever when it comes to Twitch. So I feel like I can bring all of that out into the world as well. Social media presence. I feel like I've learned a crap ton with that since Twitch because I'm promoting my brand. I'm advertising my brand. I'm constantly networking. I'm, you know, jumping into whole different worlds of like, you know, social media presence that I didn't really have before. And so it's crazy. So I think that there are so many different things that I learned through Twitch that I can bring into the outside world now and use for other types of jobs and stuff like that. The thing that makes me nervous about the outside world now that I've been on Twitch for so long is dealing with like real people again, and like if I was to jump back into a similar job, like graphic design job, and dealing with clients and all of that sort of thing, that's kind of like this part that scares me, because with Twitch, all of my content is whatever I want it to be. I have the power to make everything the way I want it to be, because it's my brand and I'm like, everything I'm creating is for myself. Whereas when you have a client, you have to do something that they want, and you might not, you know what I mean? Like, and you can totally relate to this because, you know, being a photographer and other
things.
Gotta
meet client like, expectations.
Yeah. And like, honestly, graphic design was such a struggle for me because of that. Clients sometimes can be the biggest pain in the butt ever. Because, you know, they can have like this, just this really one track mindset, and they're not open to like any sort of creativity that you might want to bring or anything like that. And that was part of my problem when I worked at the car dealership as a media coordinator. It was these older guys who were in management who wanted everything done a certain way. They were not open to anything new and exciting. And I was young and had like fresh ideas. They weren't open to anything. And so I was stunted, like all of my creativity was stunted, and I felt like I could not grow. So that's the one thing that scares me about jumping back into the real world. So I feel like if I'm going to do something long term, it's going to stay in this general area, maybe not necessarily streaming on Twitch, but I'll jump into YouTube, or I'll start creating more art that I can put online, like painting and all of my designs that are online, like just everything that I could think of to do with being creative and my graphics and all of that stuff, and try and like build a brand that I can bring outside of Twitch, you know? So it might not be Tink TV forever, but I'll be able to use this, I think, this experience for something similar. So I don't know. We shall see.
We shall see. I mean, have you ever thought about doing like an Etsy store? I mean, I know you're a particularly talented, painter and things. And my brother's fiance has a business called Catnip Illustrations. Don't know whether or not if you're familiar or not. I know, you know, there's a huge world on the World Wide Web, so you won't necessarily have heard of everyone. But she started out selling. She has like a sort of a chibi, cute sort of Japanese style of drawing, and she actually started out doing family illustrations, and she went to a few cons, set up a stall under the name of Catnip, and sold these sort of illustrations.
That's awesome.
And and she had like an online store and a Facebook page taking people's pictures and digitally illustrating them in her own style. And then she sort of took that, you know, and promoted it on Instagram and things, and she was selling on Etsy. And then she took that and she actually moved more into, you know, selling mugs, and then she started doing pins, like little cute pins and things that she sells. And now she started a YouTube channel last year, and she got featured as a UK artist on YouTube, and you know, her YouTube now is at like 60,000 subs, and her Instagram's at just short of 70,000 followers.
That's awesome.
And she hires a younger sister to work with her, and she's doing really, really well for herself. And whenever somebody mentions to me that they're like an artist and they're looking to like, you know, expand their sort of online presence, and not just presence, but build an income, I always, you know, recommend people taking a look at Catnip and what she does, and seeing if that might be something that, you know, interests said artist. But it's just something to consider. You don't have to, obviously, that's entirely up to you, but I just thought I'd mention that whilst we're, and she's actually
that's awesome.
Yeah, she's actually going to be a guest, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. She's doing that well that she can actually afford, her and my older brother can actually afford to go to Florida twice this year, and we're in the UK, so that's like, I know one of their holiday, they've just booked a $6,000 holiday next year. They're going back to Florida again next year, and they're staying in a, and I'm not using this to boss, I'm just using this to sort of illustrate how well you can do online, you know, exactly. Business wise, if you apply the right mindset and the right, you know, and you go down the route of, you know, utilizing all your strongest skills. Obviously, Catnip, aka Catherine, she's a fantastic artist. She did art at university, so obviously she loves drawing and illustrating things. She's illustrated a children's book, and she just used her strengths and used her knowledge of, you know, social media and things to build up a presence, a brand, and she's doing really well. So, you know, you can achieve anything if you set your mind to it. But
exactly.
And I think that's kind of what you were saying in a way, is that you want to sort of, you know, be a content creator in the long run rather than just be a streamer on its own, which is kind of, you know, my goal as well. Yeah. That's why I've started doing YouTube videos at the moment, and I'm focusing on my YouTube content. I want to do like help videos, but I want to try and avoid doing like cliche videos. Like, you know, I don't want to do cliche, like, oh, 5 tips to grow on Twitch and stuff like that. I want to take like specific elements of what I'm talking about with guests on these shows and, you know, apply it to videos. And right now we've got, you know, webcam positions and talking about, you know, it was the same one that I actually used your setup, you know, briefly in, you featured in one of those videos. So, so yeah, anyway, I think that's about it in terms of, you know, your journey. So if I was spoken about you, you know, pre, you know, we've spoken about your journey sort of before Twitch and during Twitch and your future. I mean, is there anything else that you feel like you wanted to discuss on today? Is there anything that's popped into your mind that you might want to mention, or have we sort of any advice?
Dang it.
Any advice? I mean, I know you've given bits and pieces throughout, but is there any sort of last minute advice? Maybe, I don't know, if you want to tailor it to, I don't know, whatever, if you want to maybe give some strong supporting words to maybe, I don't know, maybe a girl that wants to start streaming on Twitch that might not have the confidence to maybe use a webcam or something. I don't know, just whatever. Have you got any advice?
I think my advice would be, again, don't start streaming because you want to make an income. Just make that not have that be your ultimate goal. Because you can lose sight of just the simplicity of enjoying streaming if that's the one and only thing that you're worried about. So I will say that streaming full-time, like, sometimes has occasionally taken a bit of the joy out of just streaming to have fun. Because I am, you know, it is work now, too. It's not just streaming. So, and I'm building a brand and I'm trying to treat it more like a business. So it can actually put a lot more stress on you and your channel if that's something that you're focused on too much. So jump into streaming to have fun and to meet people and stuff like that. And just work, you know, whatever your goals may be for your channel, work for it. And, you know, just do your best. You will always see results if you work hard. But don't ever make it to the point where you're stressing over it. Like, I know some people who they're trying to make it full time and they're just so constantly stressed out about it because they're still new at it. Their channel's not very big. They don't have a huge community and they're just constantly worrying about the numbers and their donation goal. And, you know, people, unfortunately, will see that in you, in your face, in your, you know, everything about your presence on Twitch, if that's constantly something you're worried about. So you don't want your community and your viewers to see that. You want, because that will kind of like bring a negative kind of vibe. So I've learned that the hard way because I have struggled through that whole thing. Trust me, being full-time on Twitch, you're going to have those crazy ups and downs and you're gonna, you know, let your face worry and, like, you know, talk about your numbers on stream in front of all of your community, and it's just not good. So for me, like, I've taken off the view count. I used to have the little view count thing like on my screen while I was streaming. I've taken that off. I don't worry about the numbers anymore. You know, I was always like trying to build and get those numbers up for partner, all of that sort of thing, but to be honest, it usually is doing more bad than good. So that's what I would say for streaming, whether you're going your full-time or not, whatever it may be, just don't let it be about the numbers or the money or anything like that. Do it to enjoy yourself and to build a community. May that be like the first and one priority starting out for sure. Cam, honestly, like when it comes to cameras, personally and from my experience and what I've seen on Twitch, being on here for 2 years, cameras 100% do help the channel. People do want to see who they're interacting with. It's just like there's more of like a personal connection there. Not to say that you can't grow without a cam, because I've seen that happen too. So that's totally up to you. If you're not comfortable with the camera and you want to start out without one, then go for it. There's absolutely nothing wrong in doing that. Usually you will grow quicker if you do have a camera. Just and go and check out Mike's YouTube video about the camera angles. That helped too. because, you know, like I watched his YouTube video about it, and it's true, like the way the placement of your camera is can definitely help. So go check that out as well. But yeah, in terms of camera and stuff, like up to you and what your goals are for your channel. Do you want to grow? It will help to have a cam. But if you're just kind of going on there to chill, have fun, hang out, see how it goes, you don't have to have a cam. But yeah, in terms of other advice.
Absolutely fantastic advice. I mean, where can people find you on Twitch and on Twitter? What are your links?
Well, my links are Twitch, Twink. Oh, I can't. Sorry. Damn it. I was thinking for you. You're getting me to type them. Okay. Twitch.tv/TinkTV. my Twitter is Tink_TV_. And then my Instagram is. I can't do it. Anyway, my Instagram is just TinkTV. You can follow me on YouTube at TinkTV. What else do I have, guys? I don't even know. I've got merch stores, but if you could find those in my channel, if you ever come to my page. I think those are all of my things.
I think when you end up with an essay of links, I think that's probably a time to make a website. So you could just go, yeah, just go to tinktv.com and it's all there.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Or just literally just go to twitch.tv/tinktv and literally all my social links are there. That is the easiest way to go.
But yeah, Tink, I really do have to thank you for coming on. Obviously, me and you have known one another for almost a year, and it's taken me about 6 months to get you on here, but it's fine. It's fine, because we got here eventually. That's all that matters. And you've given some fantastic answers and some fantastic insight.
Thank you.
And I think the best part is that, you know, you've given a bit of insight into going full-time as an affiliate, because yes, a lot of partners will preach, you know, everybody will preach about not going full-time on Twitch until it's, you know, stable enough for you to pay your bills, and it, you know, that's kind of common sense. But I think it is nice to see an affiliate that is actually pushing for full-time and managing it to, you know, to the most part. So that's been absolutely fantastic for you to spend your time. Now, I know that you are running off to stream shortly. I'm just hoping you might have a couple of minutes just to answer any questions.
Yeah, for sure.
If there is any. But otherwise, thank you, everybody, for listening to that podcast. Thank you for listening to episode number 14 of the podcast, guys. Please forgive me, I'm a little bit nasally this week. I don't know why. But anyway, hopefully we'll be a lot better for the next week's episode. Just giving a quick shout out this week to Swagamemnon, who is our tier 2 Patreon supporter, who actually sent me a lovely inbox this week saying, "Hi Mike, random reminder that you are awesome. Your podcast is one of the things I look forward to each week. You are doing you are doing amazing things out there." Swag, thank you so much, I massively appreciate it. And guys, without further ado, I would like to plug that Patreon. If you would like to support me like Swagamemnon does, which allows me to bring you these episodes every single week and continue doing what I love to help you guys and inspire you guys to be full-time content creators, head over to patreon.com/themikejames. You can support me from as little as $1 a month, and you can get some amazing perks, such as getting all the content 24 hours before and having access to an exclusive Discord group that only Patreons have access to. However, guys, that's it. If you'd like to join in these discussions live, you can do over at twitch.tv/themikejames every Monday from 9 p.m. BST or GMT in the winter. But anyway, guys, hope you have a wonderful week, and I have been your host, The Mike James, and have a good one, guys.